The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.
Greetings to you. My name is Brant. This show is refreshingly odd and oddly refreshing. That's our little motto we came up with. But I forget how it goes most of the time.
Well, people say that, though, that they...
We get feedback that it is refreshing and it's odd. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if you're new to it, this is why we bring this up. Like, thanks for giving it a chance. We span from hopefully talking about things that are incredibly important, and mm-hmm. hopefully there's some insight, and then unbelievable levels of goofiness as well. So it's both and. Maybe you can vouch for this too, but I talk about how Jesus is the only one that makes any sense to me. Like the only one. So sometimes I'll retreat like to read the gospel stories, the stuff in the gospels about mm-hmm. Jesus, because he makes so much sense and the rest of the world doesn't. And then I realized, thinking about this, like Jesus not only is the one that makes sense to me, he makes the rest of the world make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do without the lenses that he can give me to see the world, like about human nature, how people act.
Human heart.
Yeah, just always the same things over and over, how we fool ourselves with our own self-righteousness and convince ourselves of things, and how life is better if we actually practice forgiveness, deal with our anger in a mature way, how the whole world can be changing all the time. And we could be just tossed about by that, or we can trust him and then we're rock solid. We can always know where we are because of him. Like everything he says and does, it helps me make sense of the whole world. It is time for Brant's Three Things. Here we go. We got the fanfare going. And today, three scriptures. Don't normally do this. We'll just like read a scripture without comment, kind of. But I'm going to. Okay. Three scriptures largely without comment here. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to read you about how we're supposed to live.
Okay.
And think about all the noise that we're in. And there's all sorts of stuff going on, too, when this is being written. For instance, this first thing is from 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read the Message version of something. But Paul's telling people how to live amidst all of that stuff that's going on. That's crazy and unsettling. And he says, essentially here, you can thrive showing up and doing your job. And so he says, don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late, throwing a question mark over everything we're doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us as we stay at our post alertly, unswervingly, in hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed, and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clear head, steady hand, and gentleness, holiness, and honest love. When we're telling the truth, and when God's showing us power, when we're doing our best to set things right, when we're praised, and when we're blamed, slandered, and honored, true to our word, though distrusted, ignored by the world, but recognized by God, terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead, beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die, immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all. 2 Corinthians 4, I wanted to read this, and this is the Message version, but I like that. It gives me a fresh way to hear it. And it's about what our lives are for. Paul writes here, he says, you know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, we're getting in on the best. Here's a last scripture here. I'll read it without making a comment on it. I will say, though, that we've talked about this scripture at least 16 times on the show because it keeps coming up, and it's so important. Paul's writing to the believers there in Thessalonica, and he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you'll not be dependent on anybody. Another great feature of the show, it's the Great American Accordion Challenge.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's going to be awesome. And this is really cool.
Oh, yes.
This is really cool. Okay, so what we do, you know, this works. It's going to be great.
Can we?
Here we go.
First, you probably should already.
No. I'm strapping it right now. It's part of the theater,
so
the wine.
So busy. Too much.
Abigail, you name a song, any hit from your high school days, I will play it instantly without delay, like immediately after you say the name of the song. It's an amazing thing, but I'm up to it.
What about God's Not Dead? The New Boys.
Promise.
Sorry,
we get it.
I was just trying to wrap it up.
Abigail, do you want to rate that from 1 to 10?
Pretty good.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Yeah.
You know, you used to do a master class.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably that's the highest rating you've got during
that
the Great
is.
American
you,
Accordion
I'm
Challenge.
Honored. I appreciate that. So, quick question, and this will sound weird, and I understand that, but when are we not supposed to be content? Talking about like as a believer.
That's a great question. When is contentment inappropriate?
Inappropriate. Like in terms of our scriptural understanding, our understanding of Jesus, his understanding of scripture, like all of that. Like when are we supposed to not be content?
I don't know. I mean, Paul's writing from a jail.
Yeah, and he's saying be content.
Right. So I'm not sure. That's a great question.
When are we not supposed to be joyful? I ask these questions because people will genuinely tell you shouldn't be doing this. Like, it's not, you're not being a good Christian, you're not being a good person or something.
Maybe they are equating it with inaction.
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay.
Like, but your lack of joy doesn't equate to action. And I've noticed something too. You think that's a quote. You can put that.
Well, I'm supposed to be writing quotes down. I didn't know.
Quote that.
Well, you're lack, hold on.
Your lack of joy. No.
Doesn't mean action. Okay, got it.
And you can be, like, write this down too.
Write this down too. Okay,
you can be, you can be joyful and take action.
And that's probably the best time to take action.
That would be, yeah, then you're doing it out of love. And
wow.
You're doing it with a considered mind and not out of anger.
And God cares about how
God
we do things.
And God cares about why we do things. Yeah, he always cares about the way and the why. Uh-huh. He always does. Put that down too. So.
I'm just writing it down feverishly.
My goodness. Just a whole bunch of quotes
just nuggets
here.
Nuggets and nuggets
Thank
and nuggets.
Thank you. Oh, boy. If you don't mind, can we talk about the NFL for a second? Because the playoffs are going
on.
Don't do this. What?
I have not been that obnoxious with the Steelers. With every win, I didn't get on here and say, guess what? Not on the mic. I did it when I came into the studio.
Just wanted to check in on how the teams were doing. I guess the Steelers aren't in it anymore. Is that what I'm picking up on? I'm kind of out of it.
I'm going to go grab your book off of the counter.
Which one?
Unoffendable.
Okay.
So that I can maintain.
And hit me with it? So thankful for our sponsors. They help us do this stuff, like the podcast. And one of them is Fellowship Home Loans. Mike and Brian, we think they're awesome. And so if you're going to get a mortgage, talk to them. We've done it, and it's been a huge help. It could save you a lot of money, too. If you want to refinance, they do that. And they're so good at coming up with creative ideas. Anyway, if you're interested in talking to them, just exploring that, just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com. Okay, let me try this again. That didn't go very well.
Then why try it again?
A little prickly.
We've never checked in with NFL before.
Okay.
Have we? You've never had an NFL check-in.
Here's
before.
All I'm gonna say. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
Sherry is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Okay, they were eliminated.
Yes,
and so that's fine.
Yes,
and that's life. And they have a great tradition.
Why are we doing this?
Okay, because I saw an update that you put on social media, and you said I'm not gonna let the Steelers steal my joy.
That's right.
which is fine. But what if they need a friend now? To have people running away from them right now. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're like disavowing.
Yes, they ran away from me first when the Browns went up 28-0 in the first quarter. So, no.
You took that, so yes, you took I that took personally. That
as, yes, I did. as the, rejection the, at the highest level.
That's the Michael Jordan meme. And I, so I took it personally.
I took yes, it, I did.
They ran away from me. So glad you're listening. We have breaking animal news for you. I cover the animal news because animals are doing stuff. There's all sorts of stories with animals, and they just get ignored. Okay,
yes.
So this happened at a McDonald's, and I want you to think about this and maybe apply it to your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Police in Pennsylvania got a call last week about two chickens who were harassing customers at a McDonald's. They rounded up the chickens. They reunited them with the owner. There was no charges, so on and so forth. But
how are we making this applicable to our lives? Because, two chickens yes. harassing someone at McDonald's.
Okay, because someone called the police on two chickens. Now, I want you to think about, I want you to think about how many in your own life, how many chickens would it take outside McDonald's before you would actually get on the phone?
Me?
And call the police. Would you call the police on two chickens?
I'd call the police on one chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yep, ask yourself, as you're listening, forget Sherry. I would need...
How many?
200 chickens, maybe?
200 chickens? 200 chickens?
Before I call the police on the chickens?
10 chickens.
Who calls the... what's the first thought? Like, hello, police?
200 chickens outside
these,
my door.
I don't like these chickens at McDonald's. I want you to do something about it. You wanted to talk about gratitude?
Yeah, I was talking with a friend who's having some troubles with her mom because we're kind of at the age where things switch.
Yeah.
And it's like you're kind of in charge. And she said, I'll switch moms with you for about a couple of months. How about that?
Huh.
And I said, I am fully aware always, every day, of how blessed I am to have my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what makes her different, even in her 70s, is one word, and it's gratitude. Every day, she's grateful.
That's right.
That's her disposition.
And it bubbles over into everything else.
Yes, like it does.
How she attacks everything.
Yes, it does.
How she treats everybody else.
And it's such a great roadmap for me at this age to say, when I'm her age, that's what I want, so why not practice now?
The social sensei, that's what they call me. Should I be called that? I don't know. Is it something that they should continue to use? I don't know. But
who's they?
That's what they like. You got a lot of younger people that look up to me for social tips.
When and where are they calling you?
So here's the one I have for you today. Yeah, sure. And I haven't always been this this smooth. Okay, so I want to maybe do a little role play, but I'll demonstrate. Here's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially younger guys that are listening. You meet somebody new, social environment.
Yes.
I've learned what you do is you need to learn their name.
That's true.
Ask their name
that
and then
true.
Use it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
that's true. That is good.
Well, it's a role play here. Let's say we're at a work function. Everybody's socially distanced, all that sort of stuff. But then watch how I do this.
Okay. Hello. How are you
What's
doing?
Your name?
Sherry,
if I were to remove all the chromosomes from my cells, it would be 2 pounds. I don't recommend we do that, but how about the playoff games? Did you see the playoff games? See, what I did there, what I did there was I switched into, I could see that she wasn't going to engage. That shows a variety of interests on my part.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I asked you how you were. Hi, how are you? What's your name? That is not socially smooth.
Okay. So even the social sensei has things that he can work on. It's a fact. Yes, things are crazy and they're stressful around us. No doubt about that. I don't know if you saw the movie Free Solo.
I don't think so.
It's the guy climbs up Alex. He climbs up just bare hands up Yosemite's Half Dome or whatever. But on that climb, I was reading John Pippa was talking about this. On that climb... that the best climbers try.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little ledge way, 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 way up there, but it's about 5 to 12 inches wide, and you can stand on it.
Okay.
And it's called the Thank God Ledge. Because you're finally not having to climb. We can rest for just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that, like that's where we can hang out.
Mm.
The Thank God Ledge, the gratitude ledge, the I can actually rest here. Ledge. I mean, if you're trusting him, and I know everything else is
is crazy, and it feels like we're on a precipice and the wind's blowing really hard. It's hard to know what's stable and what's not, where to put your next grip. But there is this ledge. The only the difference, of course, that's a metaphor, in that, but this wedge is a lot wider. Mm-hmm. And there's room for all of us here if you want to be here. Okay, a confession. Yesterday's joke during the joke spot was not that funny.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
I reviewed it in my mind. I went back, what went wrong, mm-hmm. what went right.
The joke itself was wrong.
It seemed like there was more wrong than right.
And it just wasn't as funny as I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. But so to make it up mm-hmm. for you and everybody, I have a better joke now.
Oh, I don't think that's necessary. I just think the admission that wasn't a good one.
I think we need to cleanse the palate. Now, again, if you didn't hear it, it was totally clean. It's just, it just wasn't as funny as I was hoped.
It was
pretty funny. But it wasn't as funny as I hoped.
This repentance is taking a turn.
Anyway. How about this?
Uh-huh.
All right. And you can use this in your day-to-day life. As you're listening to this, this is a joke that you can be armed with.
Again, you pump jokes up too much, I think.
No, but
and then
you
raise the level of expectation. Okay.
It's something you can have. It's not very good. So, yeah, lower the expectations.
Okay, there you go. Got it.
Here we go. So this policeman walks up to this guy. He's like, sir, I'm arresting you for illegally downloading the entire Wikipedia. And the man's like, well, wait, I can explain everything. That's solid. That's solid. And I know you didn't laugh. That's fine.
No, because it's not. Again,
it is. I can explain everything because he downloaded it.
You don't have to unpack it.
Okay.
I promise you.
You got
it?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's pretty good. It's true. I am a shock jock. I'm proud. I'm not proud of it, but I'm like sort of proud of it. Anyway, I'm a shock jock, but I'm rated G. So I have to shock you by being shockingly interesting, shockingly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is helpful, really helpful. I think it's something that you'll hold on to and spread, and people be like, where'd you hear that? I don't know, the Brandy Hanson show.
Yes.
Okay. don't say, like with your job, there's a big difference between at and for. Don't say at, say for. Don't say I work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I work for McDonald's.
Why?
It just sounds better. It sounds cooler. Like I work for McDonald's. It just sounds more.
Please tell me there is something more to what you're about to say. That's it.
Well, I don't have much more.
How about this?
I would say like I would like when I worked at the Foot Locker, I should have said I work for Foot Locker and logistics. When actually I worked at Foot Locker in the back dark room that they wouldn't let me out of, just ordering the shoeboxes.
I'm going to ask you to just stop it.
Okay, can I at least play some applause or anything?
Yeah, just go ahead, play some makes me feel better. It makes you like, feel better, okay. Sure. Just know that.
I thought it was helpful. Like,
I'm
say
feeling
four.
Very despondent at
okay,
my job.
I'm trying. Did you see this? I saw a Canada News reporting that there was a study of Twitter found and it determined that Canadians are more polite than Americans are.
Okay.
And
have you found that to be true?
Yeah. Well, it's like two things I want to say about that. Hey, right.
Uh-huh.
You're right. And I'm trying.
Yes.
I think a lot of us are trying.
Yes, okay? I would agree.
So please be patient with us.
Canada.
Secondly, one might, if I could propose this politely, like one might consider it impolite to keep pointing out
How much better one is
than everybody else. Yes, we live in stressful times. I was just thinking about this, like how human nature hasn't changed and stuff. I wonder if we're not supposed to be like timeless people that don't get all caught up in the news of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could even just drop us in hundreds of years ago in some other place and we would serve a purpose as salt and light. Talking about people who are Jesus followers, like you could pick us up,
mm-hmm.
drop us in a completely different culture. Maybe it's a really brutal culture. And mm-hmm. you're like, well, you won't last very long. Yeah, but for that one shining moment, mm-hmm. maybe they get a glimpse of another kingdom.
Yeah.
And maybe that works no matter where you are and what period, what time period. Like we're supposed to be these people that are timeless. And that makes sense in any culture, anywhere, because we're from a different kingdom.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.